Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you. We are yet again back for one of our Tuesdays. Usually we alternate between a wellness circle and then a talk. We've had to take a break from our talk and guest speakers because of, you know, switching from the in-person to the online. I think we figured it out. This is our first Insta Live also, because we needed to figure that out too.
Yeah.
If you want to have a more interesting discussion, I will actually, let me post it here. I'm going to post the short link to join the Zoom chat, and I pinned it in the comments. Okay, good. Let me see if everything is set up all right. Okay, I think we're good. All right, so welcome. I'd like to welcome our guest, Bisma Anwar. I'm actually going to let her do her own introduction so I don't mess it up. But the first time I met Bisma was 17 years ago, somewhere there, 16 years ago?
Yeah,
It's been a while. So it's been great knowing her, and welcome. Thank you so much. And for those of you who don't know, Bisma is clicked in all the way from New York, and I hope things are kind of calming down. Trump, I don't think, is doing too good of a job.
No. Horribly.
All right.
Horribly.
Okay,
mucked
go
it up,
ahead.
But... All right.
Tell us about yourself.
All right. So like Avi was saying, my name is Bisma Anwar. I'm a licensed mental health counselor based in New York City. And, you know, I work in Mount Sinai Hospital, and I also have a private practice where I work primarily with Muslim families. And I just do a lot of workshops in the community, and since we've been on lockdown, been doing a lot of like Zoom and IG lives and things like that to, you know, help people cope during this time, because I feel like this is so challenging. And obviously that's the topic for us today. You know, just kind of keeping that support going, because obviously this is impacting our mental health in a lot of different ways. And I think kind of just raising awareness, and, you know, for ourselves and for others, you know, for people around us is really important. So inshallah, I'm hoping that that's one, you know, one of the things that we do today is,
Oh, fantastic. So, I want to give you a little bit of background on what's going on here. I think most of the participants and viewers are UAE based, because we're a UAE based organization. So essentially we are under a soft-ish lockdown in the sense that Dubai is currently doing like a 24-hour only. If you need to go out, you need to like log in to a website, get permission. Certain industries and sectors only. Sharjah and a couple of the other Emirates are from 8 p.m. to like 6 a.m. So, and essentially it's been, I don't know, I think we're on week four of a soft/hard with different timings. So, and the government has been heavily pushing the whole, you know, stay home, flatten the curve. And for the most part, I think a whole bunch of people are kind of on track. They are listening. For those of you who've been tracking the numbers, you'll realize that the numbers are kind of, I'm talking about the UAE now, are improving in the sense of the rates of what we're catching and what we're finding. So primarily, I think the issue that everyone, and well, amongst many of the issues, but I think some of the core issues that a lot of people here are struggling with is, it's just being stuck at home. And you know that and all the problem that creates, and then not being able to go out and not being able to go work and not being able to like have that physical contact. And, you know, that's just one aspect of it. And of course, the bigger aspect is the whole COVID thing. I think for at least in my lifetime, this is the first serious crisis that we've ever had to deal with. I was in Saudi during the Gulf War. And I just remember the day after we flew out, because we, you know, Mom didn't want to risk anything, but where we were in Saudi, nothing really kind of happened there. So didn't feel it like we're feeling this. So this is kind of just, it's like next level. So I think this is a lot of what people are struggling with. I want you to kind of give us a little bit of brief from your perspective and your thoughts on the matter. And then later on in our conversation, we'll open it up to, you know, question and answers.
Yeah, I think that sounds really good. I think you guys are doing a great job over there. We totally messed it up here in New York because our numbers keep rising, and it's a pretty sad situation. But I think we are all in this together. And I feel like kind of having this sense of community, even in the midst of all of this, like staying home doesn't mean that you need to isolate yourself socially from other people. So, you know, kind of trying to keep that in mind that there, you know, we're all doing, you know, experiencing different emotions and things like that. And that's all okay. You know, to be able to like have like fear and anxiety, you know, around contracting the virus or, you know, being exposed to it, you know, going out, right, limiting that and staying safe. You know, we're experiencing depression, you know, sadness, low mood. I think it's important for us to check in with ourselves, like what are the emotions that are coming up for us? Because each of us will respond differently, you know, and our emotional state will be different. But I think having awareness and that introspection piece is really important. To be able to just acknowledge our feelings is really important. So trying to think about like, how do I feel right now? Checking in with yourself. Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling depressed? Am I feeling really anxious right now? You know, a lot of people are experiencing disruptions in their sleep. You know, that's coming up. And I feel like that's also sort of unconscious because we, you know, that anxiety is sort of manifesting in that way. And then people are staying at home, working from home. So there's a lack of structure. There's a lack of boundaries. So it's like all these things are impacting us. And so I feel like we need to, you know, have those like tools and learn better ways of coping. You know, oftentimes we'll engage in like negative coping skills and, you know, we'll be like on, you know, our laptops and computers till late at night, or we'll watch too much of like the news reports and the numbers. You know, those things are going to add to our anxiety. So I feel like it's also kind of recognizing what is triggering our anxiety or our sadness or depression. You know, there will be feelings of irritability, frustration, maybe some anger. You know, so if you're experiencing those things, it's important to think about, like, what can I do to make myself feel better, as opposed to sort of continuing to engage in the things that are making it feel worse. So, you know, so I'm going to, like, you know, would ask everyone to kind of think about, are you having disruptions in your sleep? Is it really hard for you to sleep? So trying to do some, I think, like, relaxation before bed, you know, trying to use some, like, meditation or deep breathing, maybe some light yoga, reading, or, you know, even, like, journal writing, things like that. I feel like those things have been really helpful in regulating sleep. And then thinking about your appetite, right? Like your eating habits. We're at home right now. We're not really moving. A lot of us are not really, you know, in our day-to-day, we're more active. You know, maybe we exercise more. The motivation is also really low for us to engage in those things. So I think kind of trying to tap into, you know, what will make us feel more motivated. And that's kind of goes back to structuring our day in a better way. So trying to think about, like, what can I do? What time of the day can I exercise? Can I set a time aside for that? If you can safely go for a walk outside, if you can safely go and, like, kind of have that social distancing and be apart, if you can do that, I would really recommend that for people. In New York, like, people are still doing it, but it just depends on where you are and if your ability to be able to sort of say, but, like, being out in the fresh air, it can be really rejuvenating and, you know, kind of help with that. Exercise also actually helps with the sleep cycle. So that's also something to think about, that if you're kind of trying to just do like at-home workouts, there's so many things on YouTube. There's so many apps. You know, a lot of apps have gone free for some time also. Yeah. So it's just a matter of like kind of like a quick Google search will bring up all these things actually. And it's very easily accessible, I think, even to you guys in the UAE, you know, as well as here. So,
I mean, just to kind of recap on what you're talking about.
Sure.
I hear you 100%. I like what you're talking about. So, you know, you mentioned we need to kind of think about and of all the things we do, and we need to kind of put structure back into place. And in that structure, we're looking at improving our sleep. We're looking at improving our diet. We're looking at some sort of exercise. What do you recommend in terms of how we can get that going? How do we get started? How do we not just sit on the couch and just stare at Netflix? until the Netflix guy says, "Are you still there?" And you're like, "Yeah, well, three more times I'm here." Right?
Or have you guys, seen?
Yeah, if you're on Zoom, feel free to open up your cameras because it's nice to see people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just keep the mics on mute. No, not yet. Not yet. If you can keep it on mute, no. I'll open it up for a discussion a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's always nice to see people. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I know. I've seen that meme. I finished Netflix today. I don't know if you guys saw that one.
Yeah.
And I sent that to my daughter. Okay. I have a teenage daughter. And like, I sent that to her. I'm like, this is you. You need to stop it. And then she gets a subscription to Disney Plus. So that went okay. So you can imagine how that's going. But
oh goodness, no. The new season of, I don't know how many of you guys, raise your hands, you're watching Money Heist. Who's following Money Heist?
Oh my god. Okay, my brother is watching it. I haven't watched it.
So new season of Money Heist came out. My phone exploded. All my friends, oh, Money Heist is out. You gotta watch it. Next morning, they had finished it. Me. I have put myself on a quota. I'm allowed one episode every 2 days. It's so hard. But I'm thinking if I finish it, I'll run out of stuff to watch. So I'm kind of rationing out my TV shows. Mm-hmm, I'm not too worried about my food. I'm rationing out my TV shows.
No, absolutely.
So how do we
yeah,
get started with getting that structure going? How do we get off the couch and then how do we like put it together?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, I think that's something that, you know, we're all struggling with. So I would say, like, I'm a very like a visual type of person in terms of like, I have a calendar, I write stuff down, I write like my daily thing along with times. You have to think about like what works for you, right? When I'm talking about setting a schedule, I mean like, you know, not a very strict hour by hour, but it really should be a strict schedule. Wake up at the same time that you usually do. Sleep at the same time that you usually do before all of this, right? Go back to that routine, you know, acknowledge the fact that, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be in this. And the, you know, the longer we are, the more, you know, we're kind of feeling out of control. And, you know, setting that schedule is a way of taking back some of our control. So try to think about it that way. What ways can I have control over my life right now? And that is one way of doing it, is by setting the schedule and like start today and just be like, okay, you know, what is like, what are my meal times? Have your meal times set. You know, a lot of us are just kind of like, not really, because we're at home and the kitchen is right there. You know, well, I'll just like pop in, you know, whenever I feel hungry. But then what's happening is that you're maybe like snacking or having more junk food. You know, the anxiety sort of leads to you maybe like you crave sweets more. Right, exactly, right? So we all are struggling
so
with this. Like,
so guilty.
I know. I mean, listen, I struggle with this myself. And so it is very hard. And some days, listen, some days are not going to work. Some days are going to be harder than others. And it's going to be harder to get off the couch. And that's okay. But if you have like 5 days, you did really well. On the sixth day, if you said like, I just can't do it today, I will be like, that's fine. But most days, please try to have your schedule set with sleep and with eating. These are like two basic things that I think a lot of people don't connect with mental health. And they are like a big part of your mental health. So, you know, remember that is something that you need to focus on. And then at the same time, try to think about like, what are things that are, yes, we all, you know, love watching TV shows and things like that. But what are some other things that help improve your mood? And for you, you know, you might be someone who likes to socialize with other people, and it's very hard to do that right now. So check in with your friends, check in with family members, you know, have like a, you know, either like a call or a Zoom or FaceTime. There's like so many ways to connect now. So pick a way of doing that. Set that check-in time with your friends and family, you know, once a week, twice a week, whatever it is that works for you. Do a game night. People are doing a lot of that. So, you know, try to like kind of like change things around, work with what you have. You know, again, like I was saying, like exercise is another one. And then kind of limit your consumption of like the news and TV, like you were talking about, like having your quota and saying, okay, you know, like I did this, I watched it. Now I'm going to go like read a book. Maybe you'll do some like journal writing. I think I really recommend right now is like engaging in gratitude. You know, yeah. What are we grateful for? Because right now it's so, we're so focused on what, the negative stuff that's going on. It's really important to think about, like, what am I grateful for? I'm grateful for the roof over my head. I'm grateful to still make a living.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for my family and friends who are okay. I'm praying for the people that are not so great and okay. And I'm trying to, you know, maybe you're trying to help them or give support to people that are not doing so well during this time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm grateful that I have food and I can get access to food. So, you know, whatever it is, everything, when we engage in gratitude, we're sort of shifting our perspective from, you know, the negative to the positive, like automatically putting mm-hmm. ourselves in that mindset. And it is a lot about mindset, because there, you know, there will be days when it's so easy to go into that negative space and have all these anxious thoughts. And, you know, you kind of like spiral sometimes. It's going down the rabbit hole. Right. But you want to pull yourself out.
I like
of
what
that.
You said right there about spiraling and kind of going down this rabbit hole. I think all of us are guilty of that. All of us do that more often than we should. Or, mm-hmm. you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How do you,
absolutely.
A lot of the times, you know, I talk to so many people, myself included, I don't realize that I've started going down until it's already a little too late.
Yeah.
What's the strategy to, like, two questions I want to ask you here. How do I catch myself early? And if I haven't and I'm kind of now in the hole, how do I get out?
Okay. So usually we all have what I call triggers, right? We all have some things that kind of like hit us in a way that it, you know, it puts us in that negative mind space. It could be an interaction with someone. It could be something in our environment. It could be, you know, it could be anything. It could be a thought, right? And so the idea is to recognize our trigger. And right then, as soon as we get triggered, we don't allow ourselves to go in that direction. We actually, we go in the other direction. We move. We distract. Distraction is huge, right, for those moments. Do something to distract yourself. You know, if you're sitting down, get up. Take a walk around. Go have a glass of cold water. You know, a lot of times, like when we talk about being in like a crisis situation or having like feeling overwhelmed with anxiety, a way to like very quickly change that is changing our body temperature, right? And this has like kind of been scientifically proven. And we talk about this with like, you know, yeah. There's like this. It's in dialectical behavioral therapy, which I'm certified in, and we do this a lot with our patients that are, you know, kind of like get very quickly like overwhelmed and you know, can engage in like self-harm or other types of behaviors. But this is something I feel like everybody can benefit from, right? So it's about changing your body temperature, and there's a couple of ways to do that. One is to use cold water or ice. So if you have ice cubes, you hold them in your hand, or you hold them to your face. Same with an ice pack. You can use an ice pack for the same thing. It will lower your body temperature. If you're really up to this, which I know a lot of people don't, but like if you're like you have a bowl of ice cold water and you put your face in it. I mean, that's not a lot of people will want to do that, but I think the ice pack and the ice in your hands will kind of do the same thing. The idea is just to cool it down. Drink some cold water as well if you can. The other one is exercise. So, but this is like rapid exercise. This is like doing 10 jumping jacks or like running really fast. So it's like, you know,
amp up your body.
Yeah, exactly. Amp up your body, right? Get that heart pumping. So it has to be something like that. Or burpees or something like, you know, that just kind of gets you moving. And then it's about like paced breathing or deep breathing. So being able to kind of really engage your breath in whatever way you want to. But the idea is that, you know, that inhale and then the exhale is a little bit longer than the inhale. Okay. And then trying to just sort of, you can use a guided meditation for that, or you could just do it on your own and count to 10, you know, just kind of do like a few deep breaths that way. That will also help. So, you know, use whatever way out of these to, you know, kind of get yourself away from like, spiraling can be really helpful.
Okay.
And I think like sometimes it can be any kind of interruption, in terms of like maybe talking to someone, you know, get up, call someone, talk to someone, you know, put on, I don't know, like a song or something like that, you know, something that can kind of like very quickly shift your mood. So, you know, all those
almost
things,
to the point that you're physically as well as visually or, you know, whatever stimulants you can get,
yes,
to kind of just shift your entire perspective,
mm-hmm,
out of that, like that physical zone you're,
yes,
in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's nice. Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting. Good. What do we do? I lost my train of thought. What I was trying to get to is, you know, we've talked about what are the different techniques you can use to help kind of structure your day. We talked about when you start spiraling and how to get out of it or how to catch yourself and what are these, you know, these things. How do we stop from overthinking? I mean, a lot of discussions I've had, I'm talking to people and I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, where'd you come up with this? So I know we limit our information that comes in. That's a nice way. We filter the news.
Yes.
We only give ourselves whatever, 10 minutes, reliable sources. All that's great.
Yeah.
But then your brain is kind of just thinking, like constantly trying to.
Yeah.
And it just kind of takes you somewhere else. How do you stop yourself from overthinking? You could take the smallest thing and by end of day.
Yeah. It's like a snowball effect, right? It's like this small snowball that turns into the avalanche. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
How do you catch that?
You know, I think part of how to catch that is to, you know, now I lost my train of thought for a minute.
Catching the snowball.
Yeah, catching the snowball. I know, right? Catching the snowball. So we do what I will call reality checking. Okay. Reality check. So give yourself, when you're starting to, you know, the snowball starts to like kind of come down the hill, give yourself a reality check and be like, okay, stop this for a minute. Like, let me just kind of examine this thought that I'm having. Mm-hmm. Is this a realistic thought? Is this like real? Can I prove this? Is there proof for this? Is there proof that I'm thinking about this? What are the chances that this is actually going to happen? What is the... You know, has this ever happened to me in the past? Why do I think this would happen to me in the future? Has this happened to anybody that I know? You know, like kind of do that. Like question those thoughts. Don't just kind of go with that. Yeah, check yourself. Check yourself. Stop yourself. Check yourself. Yeah. You could even like talk to somebody else about it. But listen, I'm having these thoughts. Like, what do you think? And then like sometimes it's like the other person, like, why, you know? What do you mean? Like, and then you kind of be like, okay, wait, I'm being a bit ridiculous right now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I think you got to be careful. I got some friends who be like, man, me too.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, no. No, you don't want to do that. You want to. If you have a therapist, listen, if you have a therapist, then talk to your therapist. Yeah. Or, you know, talk to your, like, I guess more grounded friends.
You brought it up right now, and I'm kind of going to take you off on a tangent over here.
Sure.
Traditionally, in the UAE, mental health care is very expensive. We're talking ridiculous sums of money per hour, and it's limited. The quality ones are limited in terms of availability and all of these things.
Yeah.
And now that we've kind of been thrown into the deep end, you know, for those of you who don't know, I teach at the university, and so we've kind of been thrown into the deep end a month ago that magically from tomorrow everything I got to teach online. So now you're like, what? But having this whole online thing, and now people are so much more comfortable with it, what's your opinion on online therapy? Go, no go? What do we look out for? How do we know this is legitimate or not legitimate? Or
So I do a lot of online therapy, actually. I've been doing it for the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. So this transition for me was actually okay because I had been doing it in my private practice. And I do it through an online, like a portal, if you will, and it's called Talkspace. Yep. And, you know, and it's like, it's international too, and all over the States as well. So, you know, if any of you are interested, you can check it out and see, you know, they have different types of plans and things like that. It's legit. And I think when you're doing it through a platform, you want to make sure that the platform is legitimate. And, you know, you kind of like see what are the reviews, and it's easy to tell if something is legitimate or not, okay, in terms of the platforms. And if you're going to like an individual who is like a therapist, you want to Google them. Okay. Google them, look them up, look up their credentials, make sure that they are licensed to do what they're doing. You know, if they're not licensed, then that's a red flag. Right. Because, you know, you don't really know what they're, because there's obviously a lot of people who are like present themselves as like life coach and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, that's like a very different form of, that's not therapy. But, you know, kind of people are like, oh, yeah, I do therapy as well. So you have to just kind of be careful, look at a person's credentials, Google them, see what's out there about them, what information you can find on them, if you can get some reviews on them. Usually, the way I've seen it works a lot is like, and my own private practice too, it's like word of mouth, really, you know, so somebody who knows somebody comes to me and like, you know, it's kind of just like that. And with a lot of the Muslim therapists here too, it's sort of the same thing. People just kind of look for recommendations. And then that's how, you know, that's how we go. We have this website here. I don't know if you guys have something similar in the UAE or what it looks like. It's called Psychology Today. Mm-hmm. And it has like listings of therapists and social workers, psychiatrists, psychologists. And, you know, you can kind of filter according to your zip code, your area, your state, all that stuff.
Well, we're very tiny in the UAE to begin with. We sadly don't have such a directory. We have directories for hospitals, because all the doctors and the mental health workers will work under a license from somebody. So we don't have like freelancers kind of floating around. It's a lot of it is government regulated, which again, like I said, that all of these extra things adds to the cost, and it gets a little bit tricky. I've got questions coming in on the chat. Let me see what's going on. What's the difference, Yusuf? If you guys want, just raise your hand and you can ask like with the mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody want to ask, or do you want me to just read it out? Just unmute yourself and go ahead. Good.
Good.
Yusuf, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, yeah, no, I do. I understand what you're saying. You know, when I was talking about like reality check, right, that's kind of what you're trying to question and see, like, is this a realistic thought? And if it's a realistic thought, then, you know, you have to sort of think it through in like a better way, though. Not in a way that causes you to feel more anxious and more stressed out. And sometimes there are certain things that we worry about. You know, like right now we might be worrying about like, what if I get sick? And that's like a realistic worry, right? In a way, if you're going out, but then you want to question yourself. Okay, let's say, for example, the thing is the fear, like, what if I get sick? Okay, am I going outside? Am I, you know, in touch with anybody who has been exposed? If I say yes to these things, then I'll be like, okay, all right, so this is a realistic worry. I go out, have to, because of my job or XYZ, I have to go out. I am interacting with other people. They may or may not, you know, contract the virus. I may or may not get it. That's a realistic thought. But then at the same time, you want to think about, well, what can I do to keep myself safe? I can wear, for example, I will wear a mask. I will wear gloves. I will come home. I will, you know, wash my hands. I will disinfect, you know, whatever I can. And, you know, and that's the best that I can do. And that's what I'm going to do. And keeping the focus on that and what you can do, as opposed to what you cannot do. Does that make sense?
Okay. Anybody else has a question? If you're not comfortable talking, you just put it in the chat. Either way is fine with me, guys. Yeah. You know house rules. Mm-hmm. Verna, you had a question?
Oh, people are saying we can't hear Yusuf on the IG live.
Yeah. I just saw that. I'm gonna repeat the questions after this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's talking? Okay, Fatma, yes. Continue. So Fatma, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, for IG guys, Fatma was asking, how do you get over the feeling of dread? You wake up in the morning, you have this overwhelming feeling of dread of COVID-19 and, you know, these sort of things. So that's the question. How do you overcome that?
So, you know, I think acknowledging that we're all having this sense of dread and that it is really hard to, I think, feel really motivated or very productive right now. You know, I'm kind of telling everybody this, all of my patients, I'm telling them this, that listen, this is not going to be the time when we're going to be like super productive. You know, we're staying at home. So like, I will do X, Y, and Z training. I will become certified in this. I will like learn a new skill. It's not going to happen. Why? Because we're in survival mode. We're in survival mode and we are dealing with, there's like a, you know, our baseline is anxiety. That's our baseline right now. And we're living with that day in and day out. But then also kind of acknowledging that there's no benefit in us continuing to feel that anxiety 24/7.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we will not be able to do anything at all. You know, we'll feel very stuck with it. So in order for us not to feel so stuck on this, we have to sort of keep going, right? Like coming back to sort of what I was talking about with structuring your day and trying to think about what do I have control over right now that I can kind of, you know, take control of and try and do.
Misma, I think part of this is also, it's human nature. You know, we talk about whenever you're faced with something life-threatening, the standard response is fight, flight, or freeze.
Yes.
So, this is what we're feeling, and then freeze, and you're telling me stay home and chill. So it's so counterintuitive in a lot of people's heads.
It is. Yes, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
I've got another question. Let me read it out. What do you do when you're stuck at home? Actually, a couple of questions. I'm going to mix them here. What do you do if you're stuck at home with family members who you do not have a healthy relationship, or they cause you additional mental stress and anxiety? How do you kind of manage that?
So that's actually something I've been hearing a lot as well. And I think the important thing is to try and have some boundaries. You know, obviously, you know, you're all living in the space. You can't go out. So I think trying to minimize your interactions with that person, and trying to just kind of keep the conversation light and, you know, kind of maybe on the surface, if you're like talking about like, oh, what do you want to eat? This and that, you know, kind of just keeping it very surfacey, not allowing yourself to get too into like long conversations, and then having some boundaries. So if you have your space, you have your room, you know, you spend your time there, you do what you have to do. And maybe you call people that you feel are more supportive and that you can connect to if you have a, you know, sense of like wanting to talk more and connect more. And then also kind of realizing that, okay, you know, we're kind of stuck in this situation. Let's just try to, you know, communicate in the best way possible. You know, allowing your, like, also kind of like managing your own emotions around it. So if this person sort of maybe says something to you that you would normally find triggering and you would maybe like, you know, it would escalate the situation, don't let yourself get provoked. I would say just try to like kind of calm yourself and manage your emotions and think about the fact that you're, you know, you don't have any, a lot of outlets right now. And this is the way the situation is. So then you can kind of like, you know, remove yourself, like walk away, as opposed to getting more into it, which might be what you did previously. Walk away from the situation, just sort of take a break from it. You know, let the other person know too that, listen, I don't want to argue. I mean, we're in the middle of this right now. And let's not argue. Let's just try to, you know, depending, obviously, there's a lot of context here, right? When you kind of think about, like, what is the relationship and, you know, who is this person to you and kind of all of that. But I would say just trying to, like, kind of limit your interactions in whatever way you can and trying to keep them very, like, neutral as best possible. Okay.
And would space be a factor in contributing? And at the same time, if you have more space, like if you were to just physically have different spaces that you would occupy. I mean, I know a lot of I've got friends who are both the husband and wife are working, and now they're like on top of each other. This person got their job, and this person got their job, and then they're like two kids running around crazy. So they've created like zones in the house. Like, this is my zone.
Yes.
From 8 to 5. This is your zone. You don't come into my zone. I don't come into your zone. And then as if it's like a physical, virtual, I don't know, office mix mashup.
Yeah.
And then they kind of meet for lunch. And hey, how's it going? Good. How's it going? Good. And then back to their little zones. So maybe something like that you could think about. And I don't know. There's different things. No. But like you very rightfully said, there's a lot of context. It really depends on what the situation is.
Yeah, like you're talking about, like that situation, you know, a lot of people, like the spouses and things like that, it is sort of, but yeah, space, I think, like, is an issue. I would think for you guys, hopefully space is like lesser of an issue than it is for us in New York, where everybody's in tiny apartments and we're on top of each other. But yeah, for the most part, I think what you're saying is the best way to go about it.
Guys, drop in some more questions. Okay, we've got stuff coming on the chats. I've got stuff coming on WhatsApp also. One second, let me check here. All right, something off of WhatsApp I just got. So what if you've done the scheduling? What if you put it together? What if you wrote it down? What if you, you know?
Yeah, you did all of it.
But how do you get motivated to do it? So the question I've got is around, where do you get the motivation? And how do you kind of be consistent with that motivation? I mean, you know the technique, you understand the what to do, it's just the doing is now the problem. How do we do that?
All right, so there's another skill that's that I'm gonna sort of cite here, which can be helpful, and it's called opposite action. So the idea is that every feeling has an action attached to it. So for example, when you're feeling sad and depressed, it might be your action urge is to stay in bed. Okay, you don't want to get out of bed. You have that whole schedule. You're sad and depressed. You're in bed. I can't, you know, I feel this way. Now, with opposite action, you're going to acknowledge that you have this feeling, but also that lying in bed is not helpful to you. And you're going to act the opposite of what you're feeling, which is actually getting out of bed. And the idea is to just take it one step at a time. Don't think about the schedule. Don't think like, oh my God, I have so much to do today. Think about the next step. Get out of bed. You know, go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, eat breakfast. Just take it one step at a time till that mood shift happens. And it does happen. But sometimes we have to push ourselves and not get caught up in the emotion too much, but just sort of push ourselves to action. So because there's this connection between our emotions and our thoughts and our behaviors, right? So when we think about this, our thoughts and our feelings, they often connect and they impact our behavior. So when we change our behavior, that the opposite would work, that when we change the behavior, then the thoughts and feelings will also change as a result of that. Good. So that's right. Something that's to great. Try. Yeah.
Good. I hope that answered the question. I'm going to read out a comment. I don't know who this will help, but my dad was very difficult for the first few weeks. I found that listening to his needs, even when he was being loud and abusive, was really helpful. Listening to what gets him triggered, walking away or space didn't help in my case. It made it worse. He has mm-hmm. authority, and so it was very difficult to be assertive. So yeah. I think that's a very nice point that, you know, mm-hmm. this comment brings up is it's yes. not just you who's having trouble, but it's also yeah. the other person. So you got to look at it in two ways.
Yeah.
Varuna, go ahead. You had your hand up for a while, man. You got on mute. Yep, still, bro, still can't hear you. Nope. Yep, now we got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verna just asked a question, guys, about at what point do you start avoiding your triggers and start working to fix them? Did I understand that correctly? Okay, that's the question we were just asked.
Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, with triggers, it takes a little bit more time, right? It's sort of like when we talk about triggers, we have to understand, why is this a trigger for me? What does mm-hmm. this actually mean to me that it gets like triggering, right? So I'll give you an example. It's kind of funny, but this is my example. You know, I walk into the house at the end of the day, like, in normal circumstances, and there's like a messy kitchen, or there's like dishes in the sink, or there's like stuff like thrown around. That's a trigger for me, right? That's a trigger for me. That immediately makes me feel really frustrated and angry. Mm-hmm. And you know, and usually like I'm probably like yelling or something like that after that. So that's my trigger. Now I understand on one side that this trigger is because, you know, I'm like really tired at the end of the day. The last thing I want to deal with is to clean the house, right? And that this is sort of like an interruption in, you know, what should be like flowing. Like you come at the end of the day and you're in your head, you're like, I'm going to relax now, right? Mm-hmm. And that these things are a way of like reminder that I can't relax, that I still have stuff left to do. And so that's like my immediate trigger. And that's why it's triggering to me, because I feel all of a sudden now I'm feeling out of control. So I think for me, the idea would be that I can acknowledge that, you know, yes, things are not always going to be perfect at home, and that's okay. And that I don't have to immediately jump in and, you know, fix these things, that I can like let it go for a while and like just, you know, kind of focus on myself, do what I need to do to like sort of de-stress from the day. And then I can always come back to this, and I can ask somebody for help, and I can like do something together, and that I don't have to act out on this anger and frustration that I'm feeling right away. It doesn't really do anything for me. You know, it doesn't really help. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, you kind of have to look at like what's underneath. There's always something underneath the trigger. There's always a reason why. And so once we kind of tackle the reason, then we're able mm-hmm. to like kind of let go of that as a trigger. Yeah, but it takes time. This one takes time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not an easy one.
Good. Bernard, did that kind of get you the answer you're looking for?
Okay, great.
Nice, guys. Other questions, guys? I'm just going to quickly run through the scroll up and down all the different chats. Manahil, do you want to ask that, or you want me to just read it? I'm not good with sign language. I got this one. Okay, I think that means I read it.
Okay.
I feel that a lot of motivation comes from the short-term goals we've set for ourselves. With the current situation, all short-term goals are on hold or possibly canceled. How do we accept this and still be able to be positive about the future?
So that's a good question. And I think I would ask you to maybe try to change some of your short-term goals to things that you can actually do during this time. You know, what are some short-term goals that you can set that you can still achieve during this time? And there's going to be certain things that you can still do, right? Like we've kind of all gone digital with our work.
Yeah.
Things that they told us that we could never do from home, we're now doing from home. So there is a way to sort of think about what is my goal and how can I achieve it during this time. And if there are certain things that you can't achieve, you know, you put them on hold, but then you replace them with ones that you can achieve right now. So I think, you know, kind of like like you said, like keeping up with that motivation, you know, and short-term, long-term goals, that's very helpful. So maybe the long-term goals can be the ones that you kind of leave for now because they have to do with like afterwards. And right now can be the more like relevant short-term goals that you can set. How does that sound?
I've got, I think that's great advice. I've got a friend of mine. And as you rightfully said, you change into something else. You think, okay, what else can I do? It's a different type of opportunity. It's a different type of circumstance. So a friend of mine, she started her little cooking blog, Insta page thingy. And I find it so inspirational because she does like vegan stuff. And I'm carnivore straight up. So then I look at, we were discussing brownie recipes. And she goes, you can make brownies without eggs and without butter and without sugar. I'm like, what's left?
Yeah.
There's nothing left. What's left? And me, she's like, you know what? I'm making tomorrow. She made it. She posted pictures. She posted the recipe. So I think a lot of it, you're very right. It's not just about what do we do with our short-term goals. Think of it as a pivot. It's a pivot. If we kind of simplify it in our head, we say, okay, this is a pivot. Situation has changed. Circumstances change. What do we do? You know, the same as if you're driving somewhere and then all of a sudden you see a lot of traffic and in your brain you automatically reroute. Okay, I'll go this way and I'll go that way and I'll shortcut through here and I'll get to where I'm going. So I think a lot of it is just about how to do that pivot. And I'm kind of simplifying because of course we all have to kind of manage the current situation we're in too. So it's kind of, that's the first thing we need to do is manage the situation we're in, keep ourselves calm and, you know, and then we can start, you know, tinkering with all these other things. I am weary of time. We have a little under 10 minutes left. I've got a question on WhatsApp. Question is about goal setting. Given all the uncertainty, how do you figure out stuff when you're a student at university, living alone, parents are in a different country, all that's going on, something as simple as even ordering takeout, you think twice about because what if the delivery guy or what if it wasn't packaged or what if. So you have all of those layers of what ifs on top of the fact that you're alone in the dorm block as a university student trying to graduate or trying to finish the semester and you don't even have your parents around you. How are we going to deal with that? Like, how do you set goals in that environment? Sorry, I misunderstood the question. How do you set goals in that environment?
So I think I kind of ask you, you know, what kind of goals are you trying to set right now? Like I was saying earlier, we're not going to be achieving a lot of, you know, high reaching goals right now. This is not really the time when we're going to be super productive or super able to, you know, for right now, maybe for you, just passing your classes is the focus. And that's what you need to get through. And that's what you focus on. So you just kind of focus on what you can do, what is possible for you. And I think leave the rest for now. Acknowledge that you're not going to be, you know, making strides with a lot of things. And that's okay. You know, the whole world is on hold right now. You know, they're not, nobody's expecting anything, you know, like crazy, like, you know, nothing like that is going to be happening. So I think kind of just, you know, managing your own expectations, not setting yourself up for failure, right? Yeah. Setting yourself up for success. So try to, you know, kind of think about that.
Just to build on that question, I have 157 students graduating in the business college in a couple of months. And they are, without a doubt, about to graduate into the worst economic situation since World War II. They have no idea what they're going to do. Companies are dropping people left, right, and center. And they're supposed to graduate and find jobs in this environment. That's creating a huge amount of anxiety. Any suggestions on how we can you know, kind of manage that?
So, I mean, this is obviously something, you know, we already know, right, that this is going to be very challenging. So I think kind of managing your expectations, realizing that if, for example, if it took, for example, 2 months to find a job, then it's probably going to take longer than that. It's probably going to take 4 months.
Okay.
And letting yourself just sit with that. It might take shorter amount of time, but I feel like if you overestimate, it's better in this case. Mm-hmm. And you sort of just, you know, you're just kind of realistic about it, that listen, I know, and you prepare for it, right? So you prepare for it and kind of have in your mind, okay, I'm probably not going to be working till this time. And so how do I kind of manage my financial situation, or how do I manage, like, you know, moving, not moving? Maybe, you know, I continue, for example, for the college students, like maybe I continue to live with my parents, you know, maybe I should go back home for now. You know, in terms of like living and moving, I think like not making any really big decisions right now, because it's not the time. And it might be that you need to kind of just be more flexible. You're probably not going to find your dream job right away. It's probably going to take some time, and maybe you just not, kind of need to lower those expectations that you have for yourself just for now, just like right now. And then kind of like, you know, and then afterwards you'll get more opportunity when things start to get better. You know, you'll also be able to kind of grow in the way that you want.
Okay. So, somebody just asked a question, and this is actually very close to what I was going to ask you next anyway. So, I have a lot of my students who are in the startup stage, you know, startup mindset. They want to start a business, they want to try something, whatever. And, you know, I was having discussions with them early when this hour lockdown kind of started to kick in about a month ago. And and my feedback to them was like, look, for me, and now again, I'm only speaking for me, if I sit and do nothing, I'll just start thinking more and I'll start overthinking, and then I'll start to spiral, and then, you know, hell breaks loose in my head. So for me, I like to keep myself busy with things. So the way I see it, it's an opportunity for me to hustle. It's an opportunity for me to do more, learn more, read more, you know, more. But at the same time, it's not the same for everybody. I know there was a post going around. I reposted it that, you know, if you don't come out of this with your side hustle or your project or your reading going, for me, it applied. Because for me, when I read the post, it was, I need to get mentally stable.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do all this. I did not see it from the other perspective, that people are just struggling just to kind of keep their head above water.
They are.
There's a feeling of underachievement, and I think this is the gist of the question that I've got from the person who just messaged me. How do you address the feeling of underachievement given what's going on around you, especially if you already have an anxious personality?
So, you know, it kind of goes back to that reality check, right? That acknowledgement that we are, you know, in this situation that we've never seen in our lifetime, and, you know, hopefully we never see again, and that this is going to be really hard, and accepting that, acknowledging that, like, really, and that we are just surviving. I mean, that's it. Survival is everything right now. Yeah. And so on top of that, if we can do something, that would be great. But most of us are not going to be able to do it. And I think that putting too much pressure on ourselves is just very counterintuitive right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's just setting yourself up to kind of spiral and keep feeling really anxious and stressed. Think about what do you have control over? You know, work on your day to day. Sometimes it's like taking one day at a time. That's it.
Yeah.
You just take one day at a time. When you're really struggling, just think about today. Think about what you want to do today, do that, focus on that, and then that's it, you know? And don't overwhelm yourself with too much of, like, that long-term thinking, because it's a trap. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's really just going to, like, not go anywhere. So I think we have to just kind of be easy on ourselves and let things go that we normally wouldn't go, like, let ourselves go. Mm-hmm. But I think right now is a very special circumstance, and we have to understand.
Yeah. I think... the advice that I had given, you know, both my students who were kind of already amped up and ready to get stuff going, and the ones who were like, I can barely manage to breathe correctly on a given day. And I thought, like, I'd stop. One of the things you need to do is stop measuring against each other. First of all, you shouldn't be doing that anyways. Everyone has their own pace. Everyone has their own goals. It's your own yardstick. You measure against your own yardstick. But like you very rightfully said, given the time now, you have to even adjust your own. So for some of you, it might be, you know what? I just want to kind of slow things down. I just want to just start to breathe right first. And then we'll see the rest of the stuff. And for some of my students, I know how their brain works, you know? And I'll give you my example, and some of them are very similar. I know that if I don't give them something to do, or if they don't have something to do, they're going to just end up in a disaster. So they need to kind of be occupied in that way. So I think to each his own, and they need to understand exactly what's going on. I've got more questions coming in on all three of the forums, but we are out of time, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut it here. I wish we had a little bit more time for discussion. Maybe this one will come back in a couple of weeks again, and
inshallah,
we'll have more chats. And just to kind of put it out there, Bisma is also, she serves on the board of our advisors for Mental Health AE. I'm very, very, very glad and proud to have her on the board.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
What I will do for everybody is I will post on our Instagram a little Insta business card thingamajiggy for Bisma. So if you want to get in touch with her, you are more than welcome to drop her a message. I'll post her Insta and her
whatever it is.
You know, I'll make a nice looking little Insta business card and I'll put it up there for you guys.
All right, thank
you. For those who are not already following us in the chat box right now, I've dropped in the website, Meetup, Instagram, and on our WhatsApp, it's not a chat group, it's an announcement group. So if you join it, you basically get the announcements directly in, and there's no 3,000 messages to wake up to every morning.
Yeah.
So sorry, guys. I know I got more questions pouring in everywhere.
I know.
Hold on to them for next time, and maybe you can even reach out to Busman, have a chat with her again. Mm-hmm. Thank you so, so much. It has been a great pleasure to host you, and
definitely looking
at having more sessions with you.
Insha. Oh, yes, you're welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Stay safe. Stay home.
Yeah, safe.
But you're not alone, yeah? So use the Zoom, Google, house party, whatever. Yeah. Take care. God bless.
All right.